All right, let's pray. Our Father, we are so thankful that this Christmas means something. We're so thankful that it's not just a story, but it is history. And Lord, that today we can celebrate and we can worship because you sent to us your Son. And Lord, I pray now that in this time, in these moments that we have before the hustle and bustle is still to come, I pray that we would just stop and reflect on you. Knowing that no matter where we might be, you are the Redeemer. You are the Restorer. You're the Healer. The Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. And Lord, I pray that that would fill our hearts today. And we give you the thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, I love the line there in that song that brought us to Easter, because you see, Easter in the empty tomb has no meaning if there's not a manger, if there's not a baby. And there's no meaning to Easter if there is no Christmas. And these two holidays, they go together. And while we celebrate the joy of Christmas and the joy of the baby, it's all pointing to what is still to come. And that's the cross. These last few weeks, we've been looking at Christmas in different segments. And we started off by looking at the fact that he sent to us. To us. That Jesus was sent to us. And we looked at the announcement from the angels to the shepherds. And then last week we looked at the idea that he was like us from Hebrews chapter 2. That he came like us in all forms and fashions, flesh and blood, to be like his brothers and his sisters so that he might comfort those that are going through trials and tribulations. On this morning as we worship, I want us to think about the fact that he came for us. That there in that tiny baby came that we might have life. We might have it more abundantly. He came for us. In the hundreds of years before this event even transpired in that city of David in Bethlehem, there was a prophecy by Isaiah. And Isaiah gave us a beautiful prophecy that points and lines us to what this all means. It shows us that it was for us. This Christmas, this baby was for us to be our Redeemer. And this morning, before we have a reflective time in the Lord's Supper, a time that's going to be silent, and I hope you have a card that we lay down on the seat for scriptures to kind of help you be able to focus during that time. It's going to be a time when we are not going to add any words, and we want you to reflect and to focus on the Savior. But before we get to that time, I want us to think about what this baby and this Christmas did for us. For us. Because you see, from Isaiah and his prophecy, early on in Isaiah chapter 9, we first see that it was something wonderful. Something wonderful. In Isaiah chapter 9, he says in verse 6, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David, over his kingdom to establish it, to uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." There we see in Isaiah chapter 9 those precious words of prophecy. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." You know, it's always fun when the kids are roaming around the Christmas tree looking for the two. Who is this two? And here we have a prophecy from Isaiah that this is coming to us. Now, for the people that Isaiah was writing to, this was a grand promise. This was a grand picture for them because they were going through trials. They were being taken over and invaded by different countries and different nations. And in the midst of all of this, we see this prophecy from Isaiah. And there were times when Isaiah had to give prophecies that were not pleasant. He had to say some things that they might not have wanted to hear. But here they wanted to hear this. They wanted the precious promise of knowing, for to us a child is going to be born, that there is coming a leader. He's going to be born in the form of a baby, and he's going to be this leader, this one that's going to come. And he's going to be the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace. And his kingdom is going to reign forever and ever. What's interesting is the word wonderful there. It means it's one who does difficult or hard things. It's someone who does miraculous things. He was going to be something wonderful. And it's something that we should take wonder in. As the people there that Isaiah was prophesying to, that they were looking forward to that time, looking forward to that day. And there is coming that time when we will know it finally, when he comes to take his people home. But the story continues. And in Isaiah 53, we see the prophecy of the suffering servant. And what we see is something wonderful turns into something terrible. As you read down through Isaiah 53, we see those words that we've heard read time and time again. In Isaiah 53, in verse 3, it says, "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not." You see, the something terrible is here comes this wonderful counselor, this mighty God, this Prince of Peace, this baby, and yet how is he received? Because as he goes about proclaiming the truth, as he goes about teaching, as he goes about performing the miracles, everybody was fine as long as he was performing the miracles. As long as he was doing what they wanted him to do. But when he said, "I am the Son of God, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life," when he said something that we didn't want to hear, he was despised. He was rejected. He was beaten. He was the man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. And notice those words, "and he was one from whom men hid their faces." Maybe there's even been points and times in your life where you've tried to hide your face from him. You've tried to hide from him totally. And here's this something wonderful that endured something terrible. When he came like us, he took on our human flesh, our human form, the flesh, the blood. He endured all the ridicule. He endured the chastisement. He endured the beatings. He endured the cross. And we esteemed him not. Those closest to him, his disciples, only one stood at the cross. He was rejected of men. When you read those words, you can hear the cries of the crowd when Pilate asked them, "Should I release Barabbas or should I release Jesus of Nazareth?" And the cry begins to come out from the crowd, "Barabbas, Barabbas, give us Barabbas, this murderer, this criminal." And here's the one, Jesus of Nazareth, who performed miracles, who taught, who loved. And yet, the cry became, "Crucify him." Something wonderful was treated something terrible so he could create something beautiful. You see, in verse 4, it says in Isaiah 53, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He took that terrible and he said, I will be your substitute. I will do the work. I will be the atonement. I will be the one that stands in your place, even though you could care less, even though you smite, even though you reject, even though you esteem me not, I'm going to stand in your place and be your sacrifice. That's why Christmas means something. He was bruised for our iniquities. He made it something beautiful by bringing our atonement. This atonement, this taking all on him what we deserved, was him restoring that which was broken. He was taking that relationship between us and God that sin had broken, where we thought we were like God and we followed our own thoughts, our own thinking, and we follow it in our own transgressions, into our own sin. And there is a broken relationship standing between us and God because of that sin. And he took that sin, and the Lord laid it on him, the iniquity of us all. He laid it on him. When you look at this, it's really very interesting. In verse 5, because all the verbs are in a passive voice. He was pierced. They put it on him. God was demonstrating his love. God was demonstrating the sacrifice. God was demonstrating what it took to love us, to stand in our place, to give his son, and to lay on him our iniquity, that which we should be paying the price for, that which separates us between us and God. He laid on Jesus Christ so that today our atonement doesn't come by the work of our hands. It doesn't come by our sacrifice. It came by his. Because the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. God was working for us. And it's the most beautiful story that there is. He took that which was broken and he healed it. And he does the same with us too. He can take that which is broken and he can restore it. He can do that in our lives when we cry out to him and ask him to forgive us of our sins and to accept what Jesus Christ has done on the cross for our payment. It is something beautiful when we reflect on it. There's sometimes I wonder when we read those words that Mary there on that night treasured all these things in her heart. If only she knew what the treasure was and what the treasure was to become. Because that was the promise way back even to Abraham that through their seed there's coming a one who's going to bless the whole world. The Son of God. It's something beautiful because it pictures for us the love of God and the extent to which he went in laying on him our sin. I was walking through Walmart last night doing those last minute shopping things like you have done, maybe. And I'm hurrying, I'm trying to find the things. I have my list and I'm looking and I'm trying to find the stuff and I hear this conversation going on. Now, you've never done that, right? You've never eavesdropped on conversations, right? And I hear this conversation on, and all of a sudden he goes, you don't love me. All you want to buy me are ugly things. don't love me. All you want to get me are ugly things. This morning, God gave us something beautiful. And He loves us. And you know what? At times it looked ugly. The scene was not pretty when Jesus was on the cross. But man, it was beautiful. And we can worship today because of that. We can sing today because of that. Something beautiful. Why? Because it was for our sins. He laid on Him the iniquity of us all. In just a moment, we're going to have a time of response and we're going to sing. And then when I get done praying at the end of this time of response, we're going to enter into a time of reflection, of silence, as we partake of the Lord's Supper. There'll be music playing, but you've got scriptures there. And I encourage us from this time to cherish what God has done for us. Cherish that something wonderful that looks like something terrible that turned out to be something beautiful. And so as we sing this morning, Jesus Messiah, let's stand. The altar is still open as we sing. If you need a time to just to talk to the Lord, if you need to come and put your life in His hands this morning, to say, I need His forgiveness. I need Him to forgive me of my sins. I need Him to be my Savior. That would be the best Christmas present ever. And I'll be right down front. But as we sing this morning, as we lift this up, let's praise Him for being our Messiah. He died for us.
He became sin, knew no sin. We might become His righteousness. He humbled Himself, carrying the so amazing, love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all. above all blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel.
Wonderful you are to us. Lord, every good gift, every perfect gift comes down from the Father above, with whom is no variableness, no shadow of turning. And Lord, this Christmas we realize the gift that came through Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that even now that we would focus on Him. And we would focus on something that is of eternal value. It's not going to fade away with the latest and the greatest, but that will be there 10,000 years, shining evermore. Lord, as we come to this time, I pray that we would examine our lives. I pray, Lord, that we would examine our relationships with You. Help us, Lord, to confess. Help us, Lord, to get right with You. Help us, Lord, then to see the body, to see the blood, to see what You have done for us. Lord, to be taken over, overwhelmed by Your gift and Your love, knowing that You atone, You redeem, You restore, You heal. And God, that we would find that value in You. Thank You so much for all that You've done. We give You the thanks and praise.